inside and out. And love strange, surreal in the dark. Think of the tender things that we were working on. Hey now, multimedia men are here, Valentine's Day edition. We are here. We have survived Valentine's Day in the bloody hell it is. We're with Gadi Elkon from Seelig Film News.
Birdman.
Yes, he is Birdman. We're here with Adam Conway of the Angelica Film Center in Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah? What? How's your donut?
Delish.
Gwen Reyes from WFAA and Fresh Fiction TV brought us donuts. Thank you.
You're welcome.
How was your Valentine's Day? Was it handsy?
It was very handsy.
Very good. We're here with Susan Kamyab from This Chick's Flicks and Irving Community Television.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh my god, your shirt's adorable.
What's it say?
It's Breakfast Club.
Oh yeah, so later today we're going to do a recast, and 30 years ago to this day, February 15th, Breakfast Club came out. So you have a Don't Forget About Me t-shirt with Bender's silhouette.
Yes.
We're going to have so much fun doing that. Since it's Valentine's Day, let's do a fuck, murder, kill.
Ooh, right off the bat.
I've missed those, actually.
Fuck, murder, kill, people on the podcast, go.
What? No.
Really?
Yeah, how about Breakfast Club?
Breakfast Club?
Yeah.
All right, fuck, murder, kill, Breakfast Club.
I'm going first, though, pink shirt wearer.
Do you not wear pink shirts?
No, maybe it's Valentine's Day. I get the theme.
So, who wants to go first? Fuck, murder, kill, Breakfast Club.
Susan.
I'll go first.
Yeah.
I will fuck Ali Sheedy. I will marry...
Whoa.
I will marry...
When you're fucking, is she doing this?
Yes.
Okay.
Missionary.
So,
it's first.
So yes. You're getting dandruff all over your face?
Yeah, or pixie dust. Yeah. I would marry John Bender, and I would kill the principal.
How could you marry John? All right.
Because he's awesome.
I'll go next. You can't marry John Bender. He might steal shit from you later on.
Maybe he'll change.
No way. It's Judd. Have you seen Judd? He hasn't changed one bit. He's still... I would have sex with the janitor.
Carl?
I'd
marry old Emilio. Andrew, the athlete. Keeps me in shape. I like that. So I can fuck him too. And then I would kill Molly. She's gotta die. Such a bitch.
She is.
Oh my god.
She's pampered.
Yeah.
Alright, good. Alright, who's next?
I would also kill Molly Ringwald. I would have to end her. I would fuck the principal. Or the...
Hate fuck?
Fun fuck.
Okay.
He points a lot.
Yeah, you know, he could be fun.
Sex.
Get
could
the
be
horn.
Really fun.
Yeah.
And then...
Sexual position.
More.
And then I would marry Brian.
To
yeah, because I feel like he might do well. So we'd be taken care of. So.
You're thinking of Anthony Michael Hall later on doing all those movies as like Steve Jobs and all those other...
He went on to be the asshole on Edward Scissorhands.
But he also played... he's also played like rapists, so let's not bring him up. We'll move on.
Well, Glenn likes rape.
Poor Anthony.
I think he's got domestic abuse charges on him somewhere in his past. But I'm marrying the character.
I'm picturing the character.
The guy who tried to kill himself with a flare gun. That's your guy.
That's our guy.
Susan?
So I would agree. I'd kill the principal just because I could not stand him in that movie. I would fuck Brian and marry Andy because I had the hugest crush.
Aww.
Sweet.
It's a muscle shirt.
I like it.
I would kill Andy Michael Hall because he couldn't make a clock in the wood shop.
No, it was a lamp.
It was a lamp.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll give him a pass. I don't know. I would fuck Molly Ringwald even though once they're dead.
No, I don't. I like her.
And I would marry the janitor because he has some insightful wisdom. Maybe parts. And he gets summers off.
He gets summers off so he can play. Excellent. That's our fuck, marry, kill. Let us know who you would fuck, marry, and kill from the Breakfast Club on our Facebook page or Twitter.
Thank you. Moving on, let's talk about the two big movies this Valentine's weekend, Fifty Shades of Grey and The Kingsman. I would like to say that I didn't see Fifty Shades of Grey, The Kingsman was badass.
The Kingsman was badass.
It was so good.
It was.
If you haven't seen it, go see it. It's the guy who produced Snatch, who directed Layer Cake and Kick-Ass. He made a James Bond film, and it's awesome.
Well, he chose to direct this over X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yes.
So better choice. Yeah.
So, who saw Kingsman here?
I think we all did. Yeah, we all saw it together.
Hell yeah.
Orgasmically.
There's a very fantastic climax in the movie with fireworks and explosions and like colors.
To
just
what song?
Going, I can't even remember.
It's Fourth of July song.
Yeah.
It was like,
it's Pomp and Circumstance, right?
I don't know what that's called.
Yeah, it is Pomp and Circumstance. Yeah, with
Pomp.
It's what you graduate to.
I thought it was the Fourth of July song.
That's the Fourth of July song.
By John Philip Sousa.
Well, I can't remember.
Why would it be?
I thought it was the Fourth of July.
Yeah, she started singing.
I know. I probably sang it wrong.
But it was excellent.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
It stars Samuel Jackson, and you've never seen Samuel Jackson like this.
I've never heard Samuel Jackson like this.
Yeah, he was excellent.
The list was... That was incredible.
I hope they make sequels.
I do.
I want them to make sequels, but I'm sad because there are a few characters that don't stick around. Mm-hmm. And I know it's maybe they'll take the soap opera route and nobody's really dead, but there are certain ones that I'm like, I wanted to spend more time with those characters. And
did you read the comics?
I can't think.
Mark Miller Gibbons.
Yeah.
Did you either one?
I haven't read it, but I know it is a comic. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same with Mark Millar and Matthew Barnes and Kick-Ass.
Yeah, like I think of 8 issues.
Maybe that's what we'll get though. A trilogy would be amazing.
I hope it just makes enough money because I know we'll get into 50 Shades of Grey. I know that's probably making 160 million this weekend.
90.
Which it does not deserve.
Okay, we're going to talk about that because that's not fair.
We will get
the actor, he's new, right?
Oh, yeah, he's pretty much new. Taron Egerton. Yeah, he's pretty much new.
He's hot as hell.
He is so hot.
Not to be confused with Joel Edgerton.
I thought he was an Edgerton, but he's not.
He's not. It's Edgerton.
Edgerton.
Oh.
But
I loved it.
He was a frontrunner for Cyclops, and then, yeah.
Oh.
Well, and if anybody doesn't know the plot of Kingsman, it follows a secret arm of the Secret Service, of British Secret Service, who go out and kind of clean up and take care of things that the other branches of spying can't take care of. And it stars Colin Firth and Michael Caine.
Mark Strong.
And,
underrated Mark Strong. Great.
So great. He was really good.
Imitation Game. Oh, yeah, he's great.
He was really good as a nerd in this movie,
too. All the names of King Arthur's Knights of the Round Table.
Except for there's no Guinevere. But I know she wasn't a knight. But
it just hadn't mattered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Sequel.
I did struggle with that. That I felt like the one female character in the entire film, I felt like had nothing to do. She wasn't.
What
she
did
didn't.
She saved the world.
She did, but like we didn't really get to know her very much, and we didn't really.
Story,
yeah, but we spent so much time with everybody else that I was like, oh, okay, well, another woman character that gets kind of pushed aside.
Were you Gazelle,
But at least we got to see with Gazelle, we saw how much she cared and loved Samuel L. Jackson's character, and how she would do anything for him. Whereas with her, it was like. I mean, I liked her, and I think there's potential, and yes, she does go and save the world, but there were a lot of, like, troublesome issues where I'm like, we don't know anything about you. You're really just here to go, oh, okay.
Well, we don't know her backstory, but...
Not yet,
I mean, we did see her go through training just like everybody else, and we did see her, but we just didn't get her backstory.
We know her fear of heights.
Yeah, she doesn't like heights. It's true.
Oh, so that's something.
It's like B.A. Baracus. Like, every time she's afraid of heights, she's going to go up somewhere. She has to fly something.
Yeah, like I don't want
afraid
to...
What was B.A. Baracus always afraid of in the A-Team, Mr. T?
Big Black.
No, he was...
This is crazy because you're the second person I've had to have a conversation about B.A. Baracus with in like a day, like in 24 hours. I'm now like, I still don't know who that is.
Mr. T.
I don't know who that is either.
I know who Mr. T is. I know who Mr. T is.
Why don't you just say that?
Because his character name is B.A. Baracus, huh?
Falling out of the helicopter, maybe?
No, it was either heights or it was swimming. And then every heights. Episode, it was heights, so they yeah. always had
swimming
him going.
Of their rhyme, so.
Hey. It's funny because racism. Okay, let's move on to 50 Shades of Grey. I did not see it.
Okay, so you have to be careful because you can't say you hated a movie that you didn't see.
Okay.
I saw one scene and then I was
I'm with Gwen on that remark.
Yeah.
Because so many guys especially just, they do the same thing with the book. They criticize the book before reading it. And I'm like, you cannot say anything until you've read
the book.
Okay, here's
the
book.
Did you read it?
I've got it as a gift from a book again. So
you read it?
I read the first page.
No.
There's like eight errors on the first page.
Here's where I'm coming from.
Okay.
I had a writer, her name's Janet, who reviewed it, and it's what I'm hearing from other people, that it wasn't as risque as it could have been.
Of course.
Since it was geared towards females, they didn't show a whole lot of the male. Or the.
They showed
male.
A lot of butt.
But no,
front of males with
it. Which is crazy, because, I mean, forgetting Sarah Marshall had full frontal nudity,
but
how did 50 Shades of Grey not have?
Okay, let me talk to you a little bit about that. Because here's the thing, with the difference between how something like Forgetting Sarah Marshall, where we do see full frontal nudity, which is used in a humorous situation,
right.
in a humorous way, whereas the sexuality of 50 Shades of Grey and the sensuality of it, we don't need to see his penis. We saw a lot of butt. We saw a lot of man chest, which is a woman. That's what I want to be looking at. And I don't mind. Penises are beautiful in their own nice way. But I just want to see, like, two hot people making out all the time.
Yeah.
And that's what I got from this movie.
That's,
there were,
that's what you want to see. You want to see anything else?
If there was penetration, it would be NC-17. Just
yeah.
Point.
Yeah.
And I think it went as risque as it needed to go. It's a mainstream book. It's a mainstream film. It actually presents the female body from a female gaze and not from this, like, overtly sexual way. Like, all of the nudity for both her and for him were very tasteful and very interesting to see. I had not seen a man and a woman presented in this way before. Because they were just two people in this very intimate circumstance, but it wasn't, like, very grotesque and very graphic. And I was fine with that, because all the sex was... The sex got better and hotter as the movie went on. And then it got really scary. There was, like, sad parts in the film, too, which was, I was surprised by how moved the last 10 minutes made
me. Did you cry at 50 Shades of Grey?
I didn't cry, but I did... I felt very bummed out when I saw it on Wednesday after I saw it, because it's a relationship film, and relationship films are hard, and it's a film about a relationship starting that kind of doesn't start on equal footing and then falling apart. And these characters don't get a happy ending at the end. And that's really, really sad.
How much has the movie made so far?
$90 million.
$90 million?
In the U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
So that made 150 overseas.
Made 81 for the weekend. And then if you add the
today,
Thursday before. Stuff in, it'll
I think
be
they're also going to add in.
And they'll add in tomorrow.
Day.
Yeah.
What do you think, Susan?
I enjoyed it because I read the book. So, and that's what I said in my review, that I don't know how many people who haven't read the book would like it. Because you also, in the book, it's obviously like Anastasia, you know what she's thinking. And you just assume
mm-hmm.
that while you're watching the film. So it could come off like a very, it's not much to the story. There's just not much to the story.
Yeah.
So. But my biggest thing was, are these two going to have chemistry? Because if it wasn't, their tension wasn't hot and their sex scenes weren't hot, then the movie would fail. And
well,
they
you
did
think
have
the right choice.
Yes.
I think she surprised me by how much I thought how yeah. much I liked her.
Oh, she was better than him.
Way better. Jamie Dornan was like just a boring sack.
That's what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
So this had casting problems early on.
Mm-hmm.
It was originally supposed to be Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy.
Who I don't think would have done any better.
So that's what yeah. I wanted to ask. Do you think he would have done a better job mm-hmm. than Jamie Dornan?
I think he didn't do it at all.
When they had first announced the casting of Charlie, and I don't remember if you
remember
that.
I do
like,
remember
like
that.
If you had been like, were you excited about that
no.
at all? I wasn't either.
I didn't think he looked the part.
Yeah, honestly. I didn't think he did either.
That's not how I pictured Christian Grey at all.
Mm-mm.
Whereas when they announced Jamie Dornan, I was like, oh my gosh, I see that. His hair, and I know they could have dyed his hair, but his hair's like copper in the book, and the body type, like, they look better.
They do. They look like my Christian Grey had always been sort of like a more handsome Tom Hiddleston, like tall, but the same sort of coppery hair, same very British-y look, but more handsome, because I mean Tom Hiddleston's very handsome, but he isn't that like breaking your heart sort of handsome.
Yeah.
And Jamie Dornan is very, very handsome, but he is like like a sack of potatoes. He was not good.
Christian Grey has a disadvantage though, because his character is supposed to be emotionless practically.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. From the world.
Yeah, so it's really hard to play that character and not come off robotic almost.
I agree.
He kind of came off robotic, and they said that he was kind of uncomfortable playing this role, and like that showed.
Yeah. And it's funny because they cast him, and I think he only had like maybe 3 weeks to prepare for it. So he couldn't lose his Irish accent. So the Irish accent kept popping in a couple of times. And I was like, just let him be Irish. Just let him do that. But also because if you watch The Fall, if you've seen him play like a serial killer, he plays such a good serial killer. He doesn't play such a good romantic lead. And I think maybe now that they've greenlit the next two, maybe if he comes back, maybe he'll have a little more time with the character. Maybe they'll find something that he can actually like. Because he did have a lot of problems with it. He didn't really like Christian. He doesn't really like the sex that he had to do. Which, I didn't even find the sex scenes to be that mean. Like, everyone's like, oh, it's rape and it's non-consent and it's all this stuff. And
it's so consensual.
And it's not even that violent. Like, there's one scene at the end where where she's trying to understand what it is that he wants. Mm-hmm. And he really, at the end of the day, he wants to break somebody because he was broken. And that's what his sexual thing is because he was abused as a child and as a young adult. So he is now sexually turned on by abuse. And so that's one of the things they get over with in the books. And hopefully with the films, they'll deal with that a little bit more,
too. So for our listeners, is it worth seeing? Is it one of the best movies of the year?
It's not one of the best movies, but it is worth seeing. I think it's if you like romantic films or if you like an interesting take on a relationship or if you just like seeing smutty things, it's a fun movie.
It hasn't been done before in a mainstream way.
Yeah, exactly.
You can only see it in independent films, really. Mm-hmm. This is the first time that Blockbuster basically is doing a bondage type.
Exactly.
Could you compare it though to The Secretary?
Well, see, I was about to say, if you compare it to Secretary, which goes back to what Susan just said, Secretary was an independent film.
Who watched that, you know?
Like, and I know so many people who are like, they're never going to be able to make a movie about bondage. And I'm like, did you see Secretary? Because it's pretty much the same movie.
Or Nymphomaniac.
But see, Nymphomaniac is all, okay, that is a completely different way of showing female sexuality. Because that is almost like the darkness of female sexuality. Whereas 50 Shades of Grey is really about a woman who is very curious and virginal but not naive. And she wants to try things and she really finds herself attracted to this man and for some reason, against her better judgment, trusts him because there's something in him that she sees that's good. Whereas in Nymphomaniac, it's really just like this gratuitous sort of breaking and deconstructing of female sexuality and the fear that Lars von Trier has towards women. Whereas I don't feel like this is any fear towards women or even men. Mm-hmm. But
well,
it's real deep, guys. It's real deep.
If you want to go see 50 Shades of Grey, go see it. You've heard it here. And what we all recommend, Kingsman, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
All right, let's move on real quickly now. A new TV show, which I think is going to be one of the better TV shows. Better Call Saul aired, finally. The spinoff of Breaking Bad. Who has seen it?
Oh,
I did.
Better Call Saul. It's amazing. I think they've done an excellent job.
I was impressed by how there's so much going against the show because it takes place, I think it takes place 8 years, 7 years before the beginning of Breaking Bad. And it's about Saul Goodman, and before he was Saul Goodman, he was James McGill. And we learn a little bit about we learned about Saul's previous life in Breaking Bad of how he changed his name because he's like, people trust Jews and. And so it's that was like his big thing.
High five, guy.
But I'm really excited because I think the aesthetic is super Breaking Bad, but also very much its own. It stands on its own. And we're going back in time and we're seeing James kind of mirroring Walt White in a way. Did you guys feel
totally
that?
Totally agree. Like, I was really scared to see how like a prequel would do or a spinoff series, man. And they have nailed it. It is just as engaging as Breaking Bad and just as like,
yeah, and it captured my attention faster than Breaking Bad did.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people in the second episode of Breaking Bad, if you haven't seen it, there's a really gross scene with a bathtub and blood and guts. A lot of people got turned off by it, but they stuck with it. But this did have this, I mean, the way they're telling the stories, the continuity, and seeing characters from Breaking Bad already was amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of cameos. What did you guys think?
I liked it.
And that's well, all you have to say about it.
It's bold to be able to, well, it's not bold, it's impressive to be able to see how much of the Breaking Bad isms they're putting mm-hmm. into it. You talk about Walt White, there's Broken Windshield, the first thing that happens, same thing in Breaking Bad. There's pacing of...
the pacing is
Jimmy
so
McGill
similar.
Has the same pace as Walt. And you're waiting for him to be corrupted. And Tuco, of all characters, to be the one to do it. There's even the skateboarders.
Spoiler, I should have said that.
If you haven't seen it, the first two episodes are all about Tuco and that whole... I mean, we're getting to see a new character in his that Gomez.
His cousin is awesome.
His cousin is a perfect character.
And that's what it's like foreshadowing how Tuco goes crazy because his cousin's not in Breaking Bad.
We know he's going
to
die.
He knows something's going to happen to his cousin.
And
so.
We talk about the shift back, but the fact that the show starts in the future that was predicted
by himself
to say that he's going to be in Omaha, that opens the door for Vince to do whatever he wants back into the Breaking Bad world and to maybe see what happened to Walt and the impact, not to Walt, but...
Yeah, but to see what the impact
of
Walt.
What happened, and maybe Jesse. Because there's that future black and white, there's no way...
It really does. And I'm hoping because that's, you know, such a big trope in the second season of with the plane crash of going back into black and white. And I was watching it with my mom and I had to explain to her. She's like, what is happening? Why does he have... What's this different with his hair? And I'm like, Mom, it's black and white, so it's in the future. It's kind of like the second season. And she was not getting it. But you're right. It opens the doors to... So many other of our favorite characters to come back and pop in for a minute.
You can see a season finale shifting back, season two, season opening like that, and you could get so much plot done in two episodes.
Mm-hmm. And I like that he's watching VHS tapes and the opening looks like a VHS tape.
Yeah. It's the third season. The third episode airs tonight, which is excellent. Real quick, we want to move on to... an annoying bit of news that Adam brought up.
Annoying.
Sony has allowed Marvel to take over Spider-Man characters, so now Marvel can add Spider-Man to their movies. However, now Marvel wants to redo the Spider-Man series again. This is awful and terrible. Just keep it the same way. Just add him in. I don't think they need to go... He needs to go back to high school. He doesn't need to do any of that.
He's a high school kid again.
It's horrible.
But they're not going to do another origin movie. That's the thing. So the next movie that comes out won't be an origin movie.
That's what I feel like when I think of Spider-Man. Where are we again? Who's playing Spider-Man?
Yeah, they've
what the hell again?
They don't need to redo it. Just please. Andrew Garfield was excellent, I thought.
He was.
Please. Just add him into their Civil War storyline that they're doing or whatever.
Pick it up where it left off and recast, I guess.
Because the second movie, they left off with tons of villains. Right. Like Green Goblin and Rhino. Yeah.
Sinister Six is still happening.
So while I'm annoyed at that, I'm happy Marvel does have that character back. But
this can also change how Civil War comes out now. Because it's already affecting, Black Panther is already getting affected?
Black Panther, Captain Marvel, and humans all get pushed back.
And they may be cut from the storyline of Civil War altogether, too.
Black Panther gets introduced in Captain America 3, for sure. So, and probably a teaser at the end of Avengers Age of Ultron. So,
I can't wait.
Guys,
for that movie.
I feel so many feelings about James Spader. He's so dreamy.
He's so awesome.
I've had a crush on James Spader since Pretty in Pink.
I love James Spader.
He really changed the game in Boston Legal. James Spader and Boston Legal.
I was just talking. So I have a friend who works for Sony Television, and she's James Spader's publicist. And I was talking to her last night, and I was just like, I just only want to talk about James Spader ever and ever. And she's like, I have voicemails from him. And I'm like,
Did you listen to them?
No, because she got up and had to go do something else. And I was like,
I still want to listen.
Susan's
to
eyes just got really big.
I know. I'm really sad.
Seriously, you watch Pretty in Pink and Secretary, and your crush will be like...
And Crash. You got to throw Crash in there, too.
Wait, who's in Crash?
Not the bad Crash, the sexy Crash.
I've never seen that.
Okay, Crash is an NC-17 movie about people having sex over car crashes.
All right.
It's really good. It's really good.
I'm on board.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about... Dallas International Film Festival announced their first 10 movies that are coming out. They're also going to... honor the great director John Landis, whose work he hasn't done much lately. The last thing he did was Burke and Hare, but He directed Animal House, Coming to America, An American Werewolf in London, Kentucky Fried Movie, Three Amigos, Trading Places, Blues Brothers, Spies Like Us, Amazon Women on the Moon, and of course, collaborated with the late, great Michael Jackson as music videos Thriller or Black or White. As to put it, as the dude from The Big Lebowski, not exactly a lightweight. Or that was Walter, but he's excellent. So Dallas is supposedly honoring him. We hope he shows up. The last person they tried to honor did not show up.
Who was that?
Toni Collette.
Oh, yeah.
But they switched her and gave it to Marissa Tomei.
I just hope John Landis comes. He's awesome.
Marissa Tomei was fine.
I went and I'm curious.
I was there.
And so John Landis.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Directed the Twilight Zone movie, and that has a troubled past because a few actors and kids died on that movie set with the helicopter scene. And it was really bad. I wonder if anybody's going to bring that up. But we're excited that he's going to be honored, and one of the movies they have selected and they announced as a Blues Brothers movie. So they're going to show that, and hopefully they'll get Dan Aykroyd out or...
Oh my god, I would die.
He's been to Dallas recently, so I'm...
Yeah, Aykroyd?
He's crazy.
So.
But they should... If they can get him to bring out his tequila. Is he the tequila one or is he the vodka one? He has the skull.
Yeah, it's one of those.
One of those two.
I can't remember.
I think it's... Yeah.
But besides John Landis, besides Blues Brothers, we'll list some films out. Well, one of the first ones is a movie called... Five Flights Up, and it's already
what's it about,
been
Brian?
Picked up. It stars Morgan Freeman and Diane Keaton and Cynthia Nixon, and the synopsis reads, over one crazy weekend, a longtime married couple discovers that finding a new apartment is not about winding down, but starting a new adventure.
And this is a Dallas connection. It's Gary Kogel's company,
Lascaux
Films. And last time they were the ones who were supposed to bring... Well, I don't know if you can say it.
Was it rated?
No, I mean, he sent a message to everybody on LinkedIn that it was shutting down.
What's LinkedIn?
Shut up.
But this is a,
there's a chance Morgan will come in. He's been here before.
Yeah.
Ten Items Were Less was in, like, the first or second year of AFI.
First
Dallas.
Year. It was the first year.
First year.
Yeah.
So, it would be awesome if Morgan Freeman, I mean, the movie kind of sounds boring, but...
Yeah,
it seems like a movie for old people.
If God comes home, I'm cool with that.
It does sound like a movie for old people.
Dallas International was how I felt.
It looks bad. It sounds terrible.
Dallas International Film Festival has been known not to bring out big stars, but I hope they can bring out at least one of these people.
But you know what's cool about Dallas International is, like, yes, they don't tend to bring out big stars because they don't have a lot of budget to fly them out and give them all their per diems and everything. But they are really good about being ahead of, like, what is going to be something really, really big in a year or two.
Yeah.
Like, they're really good trendsetters, or not even trendsetters, but really just, like, tastemakers and being aware of what's going to be hot. And I give James Faust a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, this, as opposed to the last 2 years, I think this lineup, as far as these 10 movies, look way better than the last 2 years.
Yeah, last year looked terrible. I was so happy I was in Europe.
Yeah, it was bad last year. But yeah, Far Flight
Zone was last year.
Another one is called Being Evil, which is, this is the story of, Evel Knievel with, the Johnny Knoxville's part of.
He's the producer.
Yes. So it's a documentary on Evel Knievel, which sounds awesome.
I have a huge crush on Johnny Knoxville also.
And they had, like, the giant, I guess, car that he used to jump the canal, I guess.
He's dead, right? Evel Knievel? Is he dead?
Yes. I'm pretty sure he's dead, right?
Who, Evel Knievel?
Yeah.
Yes, he died.
Did he die doing a stunt, or did
he
die old
in
his bed?
No, he had died old.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, which is crazy. Like, there's some things, like, he tried to jump, like, 18 buses and just completely bit it, broke everybody. It was crazy.
I always think Evel Knievel should be played by Gonzo.
That's
Muppets.
Basically like Gonzo's modeled after.
Yeah.
The director is Daniel Jung. Let's hope they bring Johnny Knoxville to intro this, but I doubt he will.
He's around.
That would be awesome.
He comes to Dallas a lot.
Yeah,
he was here for the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie that he started with.
Last Stand.
Moving on, there's a world premiere coming to Dallas. It's called Echoes of War, and it stars James Badgedale and Ethan Embry and William Forsythe.
Ethan Embry, I know.
Let's hope they get these people here, but the synopsis.
Ethan Randall.
Right?
The synopsis says, a Civil War veteran returns home to the quiet countryside only to find himself embroiled in a conflict between his family and a brutish cattle rancher harassing them.
Oh, that sounds cool.
It sounds really cool. And this, Ethan Embry's been awesome lately. He was in The Guest.
Cheap Thrills. He was amazing. I didn't recognize him in Cheap Thrills. Like, I got about halfway through that movie and went, holy shit, that's Ethan Embry.
Ethan Embry was in The Guest. He was the guy who sold the gun.
He didn't make it long.
And if you don't remember, Ethan Embry was popular from the movie Empire Records.
My name is Mark with a K. That's where we should really get him.
And this was
in Dutch with Ed O'Neill.
Yep.
And this is a Austin Connection film. They shot it in Austin.
Yeah, Kane scenes.
It's got a ton of like Austin feel to it. It's kind of interesting if you look at all three of those actors. They've all been to Austin within the last 3 years, kind of consistently. It almost feels like it grew out of an Austin experience, and let's just tell a fun, you know, old-timey story set in Texas in the Civil War, because no one ever does that.
Who is James Badge Daly?
So, James Badge Daly, he was...
Star of Rubicon.
He was... Did you see Iron Man 3?
Maybe.
He was one of the bad guys.
He was the main bad guy that was, like, on the plane.
That tried to kill...
Can't even remember that movie that well.
You should check out Rubicon.
He's awesome.
He was in The Departed. He was Matt Damon's friend through school, and he was also the police officer.
No, that's not getting through Gwen.
That's The Departed. James Badge Dale.
Oh, okay.
He's awesome. But this movie looks like...
Guys, you could have just said he was in Shame, and I would have been like, oh, yeah.
He was in Shame?
Oh, yeah.
He was the boss?
Yeah.
That actually works a lot better for me, too.
Yeah, y'all remember the penis movie. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm. I always remember.
Always on her mind.
Yeah.
Always great score.
But this movie, Echoes of War, looks like it could be pretty violent and pretty awesome.
World premiere?
Yeah, world premiere. All right, moving on to a movie called Hollow. It's from Vietnam. The director is Ham Tran. A young girl falls into a river and drowns. When her body is found in a remote village along the river, her uncle arrives to claim her body, only to find that she is very much alive. But when she returns to her family, unexplainable occurrences lead them to believe she is possessed. Sounds like a midnight special, but, I mean, I saw the poster for it. It looked scary.
It does sound scary, actually.
There's the commercial for the Mark Duplass movie coming out, Lazarus Effect.
Yes.
It kind of seems like that type of theme. And if that's so, it's got to be probably 10 times better than Lazarus Effect because it's foreign and it'll be nuts and crazy. And yeah, Vietnam hasn't really been one of the Asian countries they've showcased films. South Korea, you know, Japan, you don't really see as many Vietnamese films, so it'd be interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited. Plus, it's the horror, so I like that stuff. Of course, there's another one coming out called Jasmine with Jason Tobin. It's basically about a guy coming to terms after a year or within the year of his wife's unsolved murder. So that seems kind of like what we've seen before, but yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Well, I'll try to see it. Who's excited? The what? All right, one that I'm hugely excited for, The Look of Silence, Josh Oppenheimer's next documentary. He did The Act of Killing, which we all saw. We all had.
Do y'all remember when we saw that movie and the impact of walking out of that movie? This is a companion piece to it.
Yeah.
This is, I think, what happened like after his reign. Like, this could be heart-wrenching. That's the best documentary in the last 10 years.
Yeah, this looks crazy. You want to read that?
Sure.
Well, what's it about?
Joshua Oppenheimer's companion piece to the Oscar-nominated The Act of Killing, a family of survivors of the 1965 Indonesian genocide, discovers how their son was murdered and the identity of the man who killed him. The youngest brother is determined to break the spell of silence and fear under the survivors fear under which the survivors live, and so confronts the men responsible for his brother's murder. Something unimaginable in a country where killers remain in power.
That sounds
unbelievable. That sounds delightful.
Did you see The Act of Killing?
No, I still haven't seen it.
Seriously?
It sounds like it'll be a hard movie for me to watch.
It's a hard movie to watch, but it's excellent.
It was excellent because it was so amazing at how funny they were trying to be. Not Oppenheimer, but the men, the guys. It was such a production that they thought in their head was happening. Oppenheimer sitting back, like, filming this incredible nuts sequences of these guys reenacting what they've done.
In the style of their favorite genres of movies. Excuse me, but the way with that is because these killers think that they did well. Yeah. That they're still, like, regarded. Which
and
is insane.
That's why this could be hugely explosive. Now someone gets to say,
confront
what
them.
You did. I think it's going to be mind-blowingly good.
Oh, I cannot wait. I'm so excited about it. So there's another one called Playing It Cool.
I'm so surprised that's on there, by the way.
I am too, because it stars Captain America, Chris Evans, and it also has Michelle Monaghan, Luke Wilson, Aubrey Plaza, Topher Grace, and Anthony Mackie.
Diff's always had kind of like fun little, not maybe this cast, but fun little like young adult films like this.
Seems like one of those, you know.
It says it's Swingers meets 500 Days of Summer.
I hope you say that.
I'm out.
Like they,
that's what it says.
I know. It's just like, you better back up.
Those are two movies I cannot stand.
I like Chris Evans, though.
Oh,
I like
I
all
love
these people
movies.
In here.
Yeah.
Do you think
the trailer doesn't look
very good.
It looks like crap.
But that's okay, because sometimes trailers,
right.
They're not, you know, they're done by a marketing team and not necessarily done by a filmmaker. And they're not always good. Like, I think of the example recently is there's a new NBC show called The Slap, which has a terrible trailer, and the show is awesome. The show is really violent and are very, like, upsetting. And then the music is like, hey, guys, welcome to The Slap.
Yeah,
this really great movie about family.
We all love each other. We'll always be there for each other.
Yeah, no. Terrible.
It might be a fun romantic comedy. I mean.
You lost me at 500 Days of Summer.
I want to see it. I do. That's probably the one I'm most looking forward to.
Summer?
No.
That wasn't a typical young. I love that
movie. I don't tend to like the romantic comedies that are from a male-driven romantic comedy.
But that was such a quirky male.
Sexist.
I am a sexist.
Like, that wasn't an egotistical male film. I mean, he gets his heart ripped apart, and I don't know.
It's also like, he got his heart ripped apart, and I totally agree, and I think that his character was really interesting. I just hated Summer so much. Like,
because
it wasn't because she was obnoxious, it was actually because she was so underdeveloped. Because we only ever saw her through this sort of lens of how he, like, either idolized her or, like, because the extreme hurt and anger that he felt, then it was like, well, she's a terrible bitch and horrificness and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, she's a human and you're a human and everybody's human. It'll be fine.
You're right about that. There was an interview with Joseph Gordon-Levitt that I watched where he actually defends Summer and he says, you know, we only saw it through Tom's eyes. And he's like, I bet if we watched it through Summer's perspective, we'd get a totally different movie.
Yeah.
And he calls Tom out and says, he was selfish and, like, he would never listen to her and all this stuff. And I was like, it's so true, but you're right. It's because we obviously had to side with Tom.
So that was an issue I had because I was kind of like, I don't like Tom.
I love him.
But I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt, so.
I hope it's good, but it'll be one if you see it. It might surprise you.
It might. I hope it does.
The other
like 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes.
You should go see it. It might surprise you. You might actually like it.
I will try.
It has a lot of blood orgies in it.
I love blood orgies.
Christian Grey actually kills Anastasia.
Leaves her in a forest.
I feel like American Psychos, Christian Bale could have played Christian Grey. Really
okay,
well.
Real talk though. My friend Alicia and I, we were sitting watching it the second time. She leans over to me and she's like, I feel like Jamie Dornan is doing his best Christian Bale Batman. He's like, welcome to my red room of pain. And I was like, yep. That is a perfect spot on Christian Bale.
So another documentary that was announced for the Dallas International Film Festival sounds so badass. Welcome to Leith. It's basically about a white supremacist and his group that tries to take over a town in North Dakota.
I'll watch the show.
Holy shit. Like, there's an image of it online of people with guns and, like, the thing. I'm like, oh, how does one take over a town with white supremacy? I want to see it.
Yeah, I'm sold. Which ones are we all going to go see together?
Are you going to move there, Brian?
Yes, I want to move there.
We should.
Will you be in town?
I think so. I think I'll be here. I don't even know when. When is it?
April 9th through the 19th.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Is it going to be all at the Angelica?
No.
Pretty much. But
what?
There'll be some other spots, but it's mainly that.
It's Angelica, and then last year they did, like, that Texas Theater a couple times.
Like, second
week,
there'll be a couple things at Texas Theater, and they also have something at the museum, one of the museums.
One of the museums. We should pick one of these big movies and go see it together as a
podcast.
Let's do it.
Playing It Cool.
We should all go see Playing It Cool.
Welcome to Leah, who could be awesome.
Pick the worst
ones. Let's see what else they have for us.
Any of them. Let's see the full list.
And besides Blues Brothers, there's another one called Western, which I guess premiered at Sundance. And it says, the synopsis is, for generations, all that distinguished Eagle Pass, Texas, from Mexico was the Rio Grande, but when darkness descends upon these border towns, a cowboy and a lawman face a new reality that threatens their way of life. Supposedly it got good reviews, but it sounds awesome.
Who said it?
The director is Bill Ross and Turner Ross, but I don't know who's in it.
Oh, okay.
But it sounds awesome. People. Yeah. Actors. Actresses. Cool. But it sounds awesome. This is a pretty good 10 list, minus, I think, the Five Flights Up, which already has a release date or was already picked up.
Oh, it was picked up already?
Yeah, Five Flights Up.
Oh, old people, old people doing old people things on an old people weekend.
Was it Lionsgate? Or I can't remember.
It was Lionsgate.
That must just be because of the actors.
Well, I mean,
well, it could be good. It could be good. We haven't seen it, so. I really loved the Exotic Marigold Hotel. So I like old people movies. I can't wait.
So out of these we've mentioned, what are you most excited
to see? Yeah, that's a good question.
So Five Flights Up, Being Evil, Echoes of War with James Badgedale and Ethan Embry, Hollow, the Vietnamese one, Jasmine, Blues Brothers, well, we're not counting Blues Brothers, The Look of Silence with Josh Oppenheimer, Susan's most number one, Playing It Cool.
Oh, you didn't tell me Luke Wilson was in Playing It Cool.
I did. I signed all these.
I'm interested. Luke Wilson,
of Topher Grace.
I like Topher Grace, too, honestly. I think I'm really looking forward to the Echoes of War one, the historical Civil War.
Which one was the Ethan Embry? Okay.
That sounded good. Just because it sounds so different. I like when Diff throws in something that's not like a traditional straight indie drama or comedy. Like, I love it. They did a couple years ago, even though it was a shitty film, Sweetwater, which was a nice historic. It was
with two brothers.
It was an ambitious film, if not boring.
And Ed Harris was incredible in it.
Yeah, Ed Harris was incredible.
Everybody else was terrible in that movie.
But it was, I liked that when they do bolder choices like that. And then they did My Way a few years ago.
I loved
that movie.
I remember watching that and reviewing that, and I was like, man, this was made on $25 million U.S. dollars, mm-hmm. and it looked incredible. It's like how...
What was it? Was it a Korean film?
Yes.
It was a Korean World War II film.
Yes.
And it's damn near as good or better than Eastwood's Iwo Jima.
I think it's the best. It's flawless.
It
looks terrifying. You know, there's like a guy hanging.
I think.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's so good.
But it's beautiful.
It's a beautiful film.
My Way, I think, is the best war film since Saving Private Ryan. Like, it took place on multiple continents, and I mean.
I think it's really good. I think you're right on. It's a very good companion for Letters from Iwo Jima, which is one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite Clint Eastwood films. So. Those go really well together.
Wait, which one are you excited about, sir? Being Evil.
That looks good.
Played by God.
I hope Johnny Knoxville, if you listen, come on
out. That does sound good. They all actually sound pretty good. Even Playing It Cool.
I like Playing It Cool because I like Chris Evans.
Me too. I do like
it. I do too. I'm excited about these.
I don't like Michelle Moynihan.
She's like.
I love Michelle Moynihan.
Tom Brady did.
It's just Big Bang. That's.
It's all you need.
Yeah. She's a nice person, but her movies are, like, everything she's in is very
small. She does make poor choices.
Like, she's never, I don't feel like she ever stands out.
She is, but yeah.
She's a single mom. She's like, I just gotta make some money.
Yeah. All right, so that's Dallas International Film Festival. We'll all be there. If you get tickets, you can go on their website and buy tickets now. Come say hi to us. We'll probably be doing a remote podcast from the Angelica at some point.
Yeah.
April 9th through 19th. Go to their website, dallasfilm.org. Let's move on to our main event of the podcast, number 54. We are going to recast the excellent John Hughes movie. What is it called?
Breakfast Club.
There you go. Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Favorite movie ever.
So this movie did come out a year ago, 30 years ago today, which was Susan alive back then?
No.
It came out February 15th, 1985. It was made on a $1 million budget. It only made $51.5 million at the theaters. But however, it's interesting that... The studio did not want to make this movie, but John Hughes convinced them because, like, it's only $1 million budget and where it's all shot in one location. So, Let's do it. So they did it. And supposedly there's a director's cut of this movie that's 150 minutes long.
I'd watch it.
But it's has not been released or found. So, but I want to read a little bit of trivia for you. Let's see, where am I at? Emilio Estevez originally auditioned for the role of John Bender. Mm-hmm. However, when John Hughes was unable to find someone to play Andrew Clark, Estevez was recast. What's her name? The Molly Ringwald originally was cast as Ally Sheedy's character, but she threw a fit and she didn't want to play that, so she convinced John to recast her.
I could not see her not being.
Do you know who was? Oh, let's see. Where is it? John Cusack was, and Nicolas Cage was considered for John Bender.
I could still see
either one of them. Back then?
Oh my god.
John Cusack. John Cusack would have killed it.
Nick Cage, though. Like, if you think about Nick Cage in that time period, he would have been cool. Because he did... Didn't he do that, one of those vampire movies?
Vampire's Kiss?
Yeah.
We're going to actually have a little cockroach.
I have that on Blu-ray. that's the famous meme of him going crazy.
And I loved him and Peggy Sue Got Married. So I can imagine him playing.
It's interesting. And one of the best casting decisions that didn't happen, they originally cast the janitor for Rick Moranis, but he didn't do it. That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
And eventually went to John Capelos or whatever his name was. But Rick Moranis was originally the janitor. So, hence our recast. Let's start. Let's start with the janitor. Was his name Carl Reed?
Mm-hmm.
I went Sam Rockwell. I think Sam Rockwell would be an excellent janitor.
That's not bad.
That whole scene going through the kids' files would be odd to see him play that would be great. Because he's an integral part of that movie. Like a vital part.
Yeah.
But small part.
I like that you kind of like because, like, my guy was Louis C.K.
That's what I picked.
I wanted Louis, someone who could be, like, kind of... funny, but kind of dark humor. I mean, they're looking through shit. It's hilarious. I shouldn't be doing that, but you can't blame him. He's a janitor.
Yeah.
He's got, you know.
I was thinking Louis for a different role, so that's...
I had another choice, too. I was thinking Ryan Reynolds might be funny as the janitor, but...
He's so hot, like, though.
Yeah.
I'd be like, why are you a janitor? Then I would instantly... Then I would instantly change my Mary fuck kill.
Yeah.
I don't like Ryan.
Like, he's a janitor, but I want to sleep with him.
I don't like him for that role. I do like Louis C.K. though, and Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell.
Either one.
What did you say?
I didn't have one for that one.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
So who are we going with, Louis C.K. or Sam Rockwell?
I picked Louis C.K.
I like Louis C.K.
The hybrid version. They both play.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I like Sam Rockwell. I like Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, either one is fine with me. Okay. That's good too.
Sam Rockwell.
Because I was thinking Louis C.K. for the
first. I like that.
He can have a nice little dance. He could dance with the kids too. You
know? All right. Okay. Moving on to
keep his thing dancing all his movies.
Exactly. Moving on to Allison Reynolds, who was originally played by Ally Sheedy. She was the basket case. I picked Juno Temple. I think Juno Temple would be excellent as the basket case in this movie.
Ratty hair.
Yeah. I pictured that scene.
I had Zoe Kazan.
Oh, that's good too.
I had Isabel Thurman or Elle Fanning. Those are two I thought.
Not Elle Fanning.
Not Elle Fanning.
I threw Ellen Page in there.
She looks 12.
She does look
like that.
Isabel Thurman, she was
like that.
I put Anna Kendrick
in Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah.
That would be an excellent role for you,
though. Rockspace.
I feel like Anna Kendrick could do a really good job with.
Yeah, she's kind of petite. Like
She's not that old.
She looks young.
She looks like a high school
student. Okay, so hold on. You're saying that they're too old. All these people were either 19 or 25.
Wait. Anna Kendrick's like almost 30.
So?
No, she's like 20 something. I think
she can play a high school student.
She could totally play a high school student.
She just played a high school student recently.
Okay, so we have Juno Tempo, we have
Isabel Thurman.
I said Zoe Kazan.
Whitman, though, might be good, you know, from the duff.
Yeah, Mae Whitman could work, but I feel like Mae Whitman, that's always the role she plays.
Yeah.
She never really branches out, and I don't want to always see her.
And I don't think, and with Ally Sheedy, you just did not know about, you. Like, you were like kind of cautious, like, she can have a freak out. I feel like Juno Temple can have that freak out, like,
she's Zoe Kazan.
And I think Zoe Kazan, too.
She freaked the hell out.
I like Zoe Kazan, and I like Juno Temple.
Yeah, going older.
Yeah. You're such an ageist.
So who should
it's not
who should we go with here? for the.
Let's go with Zoe. Let's do Zoe. All
right, Zoe.
Yeah, maybe it was Zoe Zan. Yeah.
All right. I finally got one, guys.
All right.
Keep in mind, Zoe Zan is 31, and Machine. She's 31. You're Anna Kendrick's younger than her.
I know. That's what I said. It's fine.
Uh-oh. All right. He's setting his ageism for it.
I'm upping the age.
All right, let's move on to the athlete, Andy Clark, originally played by Emilio Estevez. I went different. I think John Boyega would play this part awesomely.
Who?
John Boyega. He's a black guy. I think he'd be awesome as this character. As the, like, because Emilio has that really endearing.
I thought Michael B. Jordan, another, like, athletic looking guy.
I thought that John Boyega looked. He's bigger, and I thought he looked more of an athlete than Michael B. Jordan.
And he was a wrestler. Like, we forget, like, Emilio was a small wrestler, but imagine, like, a big 220-pound wrestler.
John Boyega, I think that he would be awesome in that scene where
he's so cuddly and lovable, too.
And I think he could play, John Boyega could do that scene where he taped Lester's butt cheeks together and cry. I think Boyega would do.
I'm worried about his accent.
I like
though.
Robbie Amell.
He could do he can do it.
Oh yeah, Robbie Amell would be cool.
British people do.
Robbie Amell, Stephen Amell's cousin.
Okay.
Okay.
He's getting the duff. You guys haven't.
Who
seen
do you
him.
Have?
It's awesome.
I have Miles Teller or Zac Efron.
I was gonna say Miles Teller. I think Miles Teller though. That would be my first choice.
Tall and athletic. Yeah.
And I can see him do that scene like win. Yeah.
And Miles Teller is has I guess. From Whiplash, he didn't play like his funny character like he usually does in Woody.
He's such a good actor. I would love to see him.
He plays funny and great, though. Like,
to go back, John Boyega could be an English foreign exchange student.
He could. He could be a soccer student instead of a wrestler.
Sorry, Brian.
We're not
going to that. I like that you went not white. I appreciated that because it's a very white movie.
Yeah.
What about Zac Efron? Look at all swole.
John Hughes will throw his grave.
Hey, Miles Teller doesn't exactly look like Andrew Clark, but I mean he's dark hair, but I don't care.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
I'm torn between Miles and John.
Do y'all remember we were talking earlier before we started about Kings of Summer?
Yeah,
I have a theme of like basically you recast Kings of Summer as a breakfast.
I just watched that movie again last weekend. Still so good.
Gabriel Basso, the redheaded,
he would be
a great athlete. He is an athlete. He's a soccer player.
So
I always get him and Will.
Yeah, they look like each other.
Porter.
Should we hold the casting session for John and Miles Teller?
I want to see John do it because I think that would make the movie much more dynamic. Like this exchange, British.
Black guy.
I would like to have a black. I'm sorry. I'm gonna pull that casting director. I'd like to have a black character in this movie.
But wrestling isn't really real anymore. So what sport would he?
He would probably play soccer or rugby.
Basketball.
Rugby.
Yeah, right. If he didn't go, if he was a British exchange student, if we actually allowed him to not be, because that's even more exotic and super, and that totally understand of like why everybody would be appealing, or why he'd be so appealing to everybody.
He's so quiet.
Yeah,
you could do lacrosse. You could do rowing.
Maybe they can
I
have
could
the same
sport.
Thing. Like
rowing,
John Boyega's dad. Like that's you know he's. I always have to win. That's why they moved.
And Miles Teller's busy. Miles Teller's like in every movie.
Fantastic.
I still am saying Miles Teller.
All right.
Obviously, I'm outvoted.
Let's move on to.
We didn't really agree with anybody on that.
I vote John Boyega.
Man.
Are we split? It's like you guys are both Miles. I pick Miles.
I can go either way.
Either way. Yeah.
So we'll
I'm gonna go with. What I want to see is I think I want to see them both battle it out. Or they
can put them both on the list. We'll just
go.
Yeah. Let's see what we put for the other people because then we have to do a chemistry test.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go with.
I want to see them all naked.
Let's go with the brain, Brian Johnson, who was originally played by Anthony Michael Hall. I had two, which I couldn't decide. I went with either Daniel Radcliffe or Jack Gleason from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
I hate Jack. I mean, I love Jack, but I
Jack Gleason also retired. He's not acting anymore.
Yeah.
What about Daniel Radcliffe?
He seems too old because he's...
Yeah.
He's too, like, sophisticated, nerdy. Like, the brain wasn't...
The brain was awkward.
Kind of an awkward... Yeah. Like, when I thought of it, originally I thought Michael Cera, and I was like, no, God, no.
So
did you remember Perks of Wallflower? I like Ezra Miller.
I thought about Ezra Miller or Logan Lerman, but I didn't put any of those people in here.
Logan Lerman would be really good.
The kid who plays, you know, Jojen from Game of Thrones and was also like the nerdy character.
Yes, three names.
Yeah.
He was the kid from Love Actually.
Yeah. Oh, I like him too.
Yeah. I would like him.
That's not bad.
If we're doing Game of Thrones recast, he steals it from
Okay, if you don't pick mine, I actually like that.
I'll see what his name is. So.
Which one did you say?
I picked either Kyle Gallagher or Anton Yelchin.
I like Anton
because he kind of looks like
him. Yeah. It would be, I would do either Anton or I would do Jojen with three names. Yeah.
Thomas Brody Sangster.
Yeah.
Those are good.
I'm good with either one. Yeah. Yeah, I like both those.
Yeah.
Let's get another Brit in here.
Yeah, let's go for that. He's good. All right.
Sweet. The kid from Love Actually. Let's do it.
I just watched Love Actually.
Good for him getting jobs.
Yeah.
Because he's like a weird looking kid.
I could totally see him playing that part.
He made it a little weird, yeah.
Oh, but at least he's acting. He's better than Haley Joel Osment, who just looks like a giant speed, like a soap.
I love him.
But he looks excellent in
Tough. Watch him with that. He's hilarious.
All right, moving on to the princess, Claire, played by Molly Ringwald originally. I went with Brie Larson from Short Term 12.
Oh, that's not
bad. I like Anna Sophia Robb for that role.
No.
Yes. I like Anna Sophia.
I like Anna Sophia.
I
also like Brie Larson. I think she has the...
Because
Claire wasn't exactly the prettiest.
Yeah, she was super pretty.
But Brie Larson
played that role. What movie was she in that she played that role? Was that Spectacular Now?
She was the popular girl.
Yeah. I think she was like that in Spectacular
Now. She was Miles Teller's ex-girlfriend.
The popular girlfriend. Yeah. I picked Emma Stone.
Another movie where women are not well-developed.
Like Redheaded Emma Stone.
Redheaded Emma Stone.
Do you want a little... I like Emma Stone.
I thought of that.
I like Emma Stone always, but Anna Sophia Robb.
Who is the new... There's a new Emma Stone. Like, there is somebody who's...
Jane, are you the girl from Evil Dead again?
No. I don't remember. It was somebody that had...
She would be good, too. Jane Levy.
I like Jane Levy a lot.
Yeah, she.
But not for this though.
Yeah, I prefer Anna Sophia.
I like Anna Sophia Robb.
I like Anna Sophia Robb a lot.
If it's between those two, I like Brie Larson.
I like
Brie Larson as an actress a lot better. Yeah.
All right, let's do.
See, now I want to put Brie Larson in as Allison. I've been like, that would have been fun, something different for her.
Yeah,
she would be good as Allison.
I thought Anna Sophia Robb for.
I don't know. I can't. I mean, I haven't seen her in a while. She just seems so young.
Yeah, we'll do.
To me, that's
why. I'm happy with Brie Larson. I do like
Brie Larson.
Brie Larson. Let's move on to the assistant principal, Dick Vernon, originally played by Paul Gleason. Richard. I went full circle. I went Rob Lowe. I think Rob Lowe would be an excellent principal. He was part of the Brat Pack.
Wouldn't it be funny to recast one of either Judd or
we should all do Judd.
I think we should Judd or John Cusack because I knew about the
Judd comes back.
But Judd is I think
that would be pretty awesome. All right, let's do Judd.
But he'd be playing the same character. You
so great to see Judd Nelson like fighting with the new vendor.
I like that. I think it should be Judd.
Just drawer. He's like the earring.
Yeah.
And let's the last casting is John Bender, the criminal, Judd Nelson. I went Emil Hirsch just because I thought Emil was
too small.
But I think that he could still play like a criminal.
Guys, he's also going to jail. He just had a federal charge put against him 2 days ago for beating up a publicist at Sundance.
He's in rehab. He's not going to jail.
I don't know if he'll like my. I have two. One was Shia LaBeouf.
No thanks.
I didn't think y'all pick him.
No, I'm the always. Other one, I know I'm always Team Shia with you.
The other one, thanks, Gwen. Was Garrett Hedlund.
Yes.
Is that again?
From Jack Rayner.
Hold on.
Jack Rayner would be fun.
Yeah. Who's Garrett Hedlund?
He's from
Country Strong.
Tron. Yeah. Tron.
He was son of Tron. Flynn. He's son of Flynn in Tron Legacy. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying
to
think.
He's a big dude.
Bender's big.
Bender's
bigger.
And he's older. And he needs to look older too.
Why would I be Hirsch?
No.
I picked Adam Driver.
Ooh.
And everyone picks Adam Driver.
I like Adam.
Adam Driver is like Miles Teller. He's got a lot of work. He's doing fine.
Jack Rayner?
Who's Jack Rayner?
He was a star of the new Transformers movie, and he's also in Delivery Man.
Oh! We interviewed him.
Yeah.
I like Adam Driver better.
Do y'all watch Shameless?
Yes.
You know the oldest brother?
Lip?
You'd be good. I think Lip would... He has that kind of...
But he's also small like Emile Hirsch.
I actually kind of like the idea of Jack Rayner.
Yeah.
I think he'd do a good job, and he's not doing much right
Jack's
now anyways.
Big too. He's bulky.
We don't need to cast him because of size.
I'm so excited about Garrett Hedlund, though, guys. He's so handsome. Country Strong is such a great movie.
I own it.
What about you, Gwen? Who do you cast?
I'm on Garrett Hedlund's team over here, guys.
Garrett Hedlund's a good actor.
I love Garrett Hedlund.
I'll stick with my
He was in one of those football movies back in the day.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going with Garrett Hedlund.
Friday Night Lights, right?
I mean, no. He's in something pretty popular. He was...
Remember the Titans? One of them.
No,
he wasn't in that. I'm sticking with Garrett Hedlund. I think that
he would do
handsome.
Such a great job.
Who is that?
Garrett Hedlund.
He's got that gruffiness to him. I vote Garrett, too.
And he's got that, like, you don't want to mess with... You have to have somebody you think could be a bad
guy. I mean, this is an iconic character. Do you really think that Garrett Hedlund is?
Yes.
Not Adam Driver. I like Adam Driver.
No, Adam Driver's fine. I don't like Adam Driver in everything. He doesn't have to be in every goddamn movie. I'm over Adam Driver.
He's so fucking good, though.
He is good, but, like, oh, my God. His face is weird. He's got a weird face. No one talks about how weird his face is. We got to talk about this.
Oh, hold on. Before we get to that, I want you to picture Garrett Hedlund or Adam Driver doing the monologue of his dad putting cigarettes out and going,
dude,
bam.
Garrett Hedlund's a better actor.
Garrett Hedlund is a really good actor.
He's against Edwin Davis, if you
yeah.
That.
He played with John Goodman, his driver.
Yeah, I know.
He could totally pull that
easily. This would be,
it would be more believable if it came from him than Adam Driver.
For sure. Adam Driver may make it a little too, I mean, I'm not saying, I haven't seen him do too much serious, but he may make it a little comedic.
He does have that overtone of like, haha.
Like, he's almost,
but
I don't
so
know.
Is John Bender, he tells the jokes, he's laughing.
Not in that moment, though.
And he's a dick, flat out. He knows he's a dick.
So you're giving me the hard sell on Garrett Hedlund.
Think Garrett Hedlund.
You want Sam Rockwell, quit you bitching.
Yeah, you could have Sam Rockwell, and I'm taking Garrett Hedlund.
And Brie Larson.
Yeah, you got Brie Larson, too. I agree with you on that.
Okay, Garrett Hedlund.
Well, I think... Wait.
You got the whole damn cast.
Tap the brakes on John Boyega.
I think that we haven't settled on
we're
that.
We're going to have to put this, like, in college at least, or... all these people are
college years.
They're all, like, fifth-year seniors.
No, they were all, like, in their like, 20s. They were all in their 20s when they filmed this movie.
So that's our recast for...
Or do we say Miles Teller and John Boyega? Or just
together?
No, we're going to put them both on there.
Okay,
we're
okay, that's fair.
Yeah. So we're going to post these online.
So write it down. What was our final?
So we're doing Sam Rockwell as school janitor. For Ally Sheedy, we're doing Zoe Kazan. We're doing the princess is Brie Larson. John Bender is Garrett Hedlund. Brian Johnson is what's the guy's name? The Game of Oh no no it's the it's the
Thomas
kid from Love Actually. Dick Vernon, we're doing Judd Nelson, which is awesome.
Perfect. I love that.
And the athlete, we're gonna do a vote of Miles Teller and John Boyega. So that's we're going to post it on Facebook and Twitter. Find us there. Subscribe to us on Stitcher Radio and on iTunes. And rate and review us. And that is our podcast number 54. Valentine's Day. We'll be back next week.
Yay.
Love you all.
Don't you forget about
it. Yeah.
Don't you forget about me.
I won't. Don't worry.